We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
The head coach of the football Giants is Pat Shurmur as he finishes year one with Big Blue. Pat, welcome.
How you doing, Mike? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, coach. All right. Put a ribbon on it for me.
Well, I think... You know, we certainly didn't win enough games. You know, we had some exciting ones, some close losses that, you know, certainly you win those, it makes a difference in, you know, moving on into the playoffs, especially in a division like ours where it's very competitive. So that part's a little bit disappointing. But, you know, when I look at the way we started to see how hard our guys fought, I think we made a lot of progress. And that's not easy to say when you don't win enough games. But we took a roster and flipped it over, and you know there's about 12 guys left that wore a Giants helmet a year ago. We added some new players, some young players, and by the end, you know, I think if you think about, I guess, how we played offense, you know, that it takes a month or 6 weeks before things kick in, and then certainly after the bye, we solidified the O-line. We certainly played offense in the back half of the year the way we want to. Special teams has been really good all year, and then, you know, as we go along, we know we got to add some personnel on defense to help there, and so we feel like we're on the right track. For those of us in the business, we're very impatient, and we want to win more games right now. But you know, as we lead ourselves into the off season here, we've got a real good feel for what this roster is. We have a real good feel for the areas we need to improve. And we've got our systems in place where now we can just do more of the things we did well and less of the things we didn't, and then try to put our players in a position that in those close games where you either got to get a stop or get a score, we get that part done.
Your defense, there's two things that jump out. Obviously, the offensive line, especially over the first eight games, the defense overall, all the losses. Look how many you had in the last couple of weeks when mm-hmm. you had touchdown leads and lost the games. Okay, mm-hmm. So we know how many games this year. You guys were 4-8 and 12 in close games. The Cowboys were 9-3 in close games. Dallas, Colts, Eagles, Carolina. We can go down the list. Do you feel that there are a lot of keepers in those young defenders that we saw this year, or does this defense need a massive makeover?
No, I think the especially the young players, they're definitely keepers there. BJ and Lorenzo, you know, and we had some young linebackers that stepped up. We got some young defensive players that had an opportunity. They were forced into action, and they did a good job. So, but we do need to, you know, we do need to bolster that side of it, and I think that's pretty obvious. And but yeah, in terms of the young players, you know, there's a lot of keepers there. I thought R.J. McIntosh had some good snaps near the end, and you know we've certainly talked about, as I mentioned, B.J. and Lorenzo.
Do you feel the offensive line got to a standard you could live with, or does it still need a lot of work personnel-wise?
No, I think you always address the offensive line. And really, it doesn't start or doesn't stop when you pick your initial 53. You know, this year we picked up Spencer Pulley, who played winning football for us after, you know, during the season, and as well as Jamon Brown, two players that were key players for us at the end when we were playing, you know, much better offense. Not to mention Pio, who was probably playing as well as any of our guys when he got hurt in week two. So, you know, I think we made huge progress there. You know, we've added a lot of new faces, and it takes a while for them to play, you know, well together. But, you know, we're certainly still going to look to address that. When you look around the league, and it's the same thing in college ball, if you can't block the front, then it's very hard to play good offense. And so we're aware of that. And then on the flip side, if you can't pressure the quarterback and stop the run, then it's very hard to play defense. So
very hard, and also very hard to improve in those two spots. I mean, probably the hardest, that too, and finding a quarterback are the biggest things. And you're entrusted with all three going forward: offensive line, defensive line, and quarterback. The hardest positions to fill in the league.
Well, they are, but I think it can be done. And Dave said it before, I believe it. Sometimes the answer's on your roster, and so some of these rookies that have played will have a bigger impact next year. And you know, it doesn't always need a total overhaul. You know, one or two players can make a big difference.
Hernandez played every play, didn't he, for the season? Did he miss any plays? He made every play, right?
He did.
How much did he improve in your mind?
Oh, light years. You know,
is he going to be as good as we thought he was when the season started? Is he going to be that kind of player, the guy who can anchor a line around?
Absolutely. And really, if the way I was judging it, and you know, we play Dallas in week two, and then this week we play Dallas, and it is roughly the same defense, missing a couple D linemen, but for the most part the same defense. You know, much better performance by the guys up front, and it allowed us to score way more points. But I think Will, you know, he's going to have some aha moments in this off season where he's like, man, I really didn't know what the hell I was doing. You know, next year will even be better. But to his credit, he's tough. He's resilient. And as he played better, that helped, you know, that helped Nate. And then as he played better, that helped the center, and it's all connected.
I'll save the quarterback to last because, you know, everyone wants to hear about the quarterback. But I want to touch on a couple of guys first I thought last year that Ingram would become a star at tight end. It took him a long time. The last couple of weeks we saw that incredible explosiveness from him. There's a guy, especially for someone who wants to fool with your, you know, fool around with the offense, that he gives you a lot of different things you can do with your offense with that guy.
No doubt. And we saw the impact he could have on games. You know, again, like a little bit like OV, you know, he had some nagging injuries to begin with, and you know, but you can see the impact he has on the game, and I'm really pleased. He's one of the guys I'm just super pleased with, the production that he had later in the year. And you know, he's a dynamic receiver, and we found, you know, it took us a little while, but we found the things that he was really good at, and it can help a team.
And Latimer also looks like there's a lot of promise there too. I mean, he's made some very big plays.
Did a good job. You know, I think, you know, the receiving core, everybody has to step up. I'm fond of a receiving core where the ball gets spread around and you trust everybody to catch it and move it. And he made a couple really, really good catches the other night. He's a great example of that IR where you get him back at the end of the year, which we did. And, you know, he obviously had an impact on the game. So these are all guys moving forward that'll have a year in our system, and we'll be able to make, hopefully, a bigger impact early in the season next year.
Did you, Gettleman talked about headed in the right direction, which I'm sure you would agree with, significant overhaul of roster, which no one could dispute. You had 13 guys left that you talked about, and changing the culture. Mm-hmm. That's a kind of a tricky thing until you win. Do you feel like your team, no one can say your team didn't play hard down the stretch of the season, okay? I mean, everyone knows that's their job, but they did. Yeah. They played really hard. They fought very strongly in those games. They played hard. The games were fun. They played, you know, they gave it everything they had. They didn't have enough, but they gave it everything they had. Did you change the culture this year on this team?
I think that it was significant from that standpoint. You know, it's very easy for teams, and, you know, you can look around the league and look at some of the ugly games at the end of the year. But these guys they fought and they enjoyed competing to win. And unfortunately, we fell a couple plays short. But, you know, they were in it to win it the whole way. If you would have watched the way they practiced all year, the guys that were here a year ago and the people that watched, you know, it's a big change. When you watch the way the locker room functioned, you know, all the things, you know, that flipping the cultural thing, it's a mindset, and it's how you approach things. And as we get better and as we find a way to get a stop or get a score at the end of the game, it'll show itself. And listen, I'm as impatient as anybody, and, you know, I'm pissed about how many wins and how many losses, but, you know, I think this is going to be a little bit of a journey. It was tough and arduous for everybody involved, but everybody stayed in the moment, you know. And then the other thing about flipping culture is you got to have guys in the locker room that understand how important relationships are and are willing to be coached. And I was pleased with, you know, how the players were listening. You know, they really listened to our message of stay in the moment, keep the noise out, and just keep playing and don't worry about it.
Does this include Beckham?
It does. It does.
Do you feel like you are in a good place with him, and is he in a good place inside this team?
I think he is. You know, I think he's disappointed. He couldn't, you know, work his way back in time to contribute. I think our conversations along the way have been good. You know, I certainly made an effort to get to know him and what makes him tick. And, you know, I think, the big story with him is just that, you know, he wasn't able to compete the last quarter of the season. But he's on the mend, and I anticipate he'll be back and ready to go.
All right, the hardest thing to do in sports is to deal with a star player on the way down, no matter what the sport is. Whitey Herzog told me that a long time ago. He was right. It's tricky. You walked in, you have an aging quarterback who is an iconic figure in this franchise. You have to deal with that. You dealt with it every day. Hard to deal with. It's hard to deal with the questions. You're still dealing with the questions. Gettleman dealt with it today. He said he had a long talk with Eli. Wouldn't commit to him. Said we'll do what's best for the franchise. What will you tell me about where Eli is for you guys going forward? How does he fit in? What can you tell us about you and Eli for 2019?
Well, you know, Dave being the general manager, you know, he had the long talk, and then I had the long talk with him that started on Sunday after the game and then, you know, finished on Monday, actually, after he was done with Dave. But I've spoken to Eli all along, and I've said this all along. Eli gave us the best opportunity, the best chance to win, and I appreciate all the good in Eli. I've been around enough really good quarterbacks, and I've been around quarterbacks that were emerging. I've been around guys that didn't have success. And the one thing Eli is, he's all in, and I appreciate all the good in Eli. And I will say this about any quarterback, it's the same for Eli. They can't do it by themselves.
Right.
And when we started to block better, you know, it's a better, you know, indication of what Eli can do when we're blocking better. The run game kicks in, the play action pass, you know, probably the last eight games of the season is a better indication of what, you know, Eli is in my mind. And, you know, I knew he could still play. He can make the throws. He can lead an offense. He does things behind the scenes that are super important for not only an offense but a team.
But to run your offense, we all know he can make every throw. Everyone knows that if they watch the game and know what they're watching, they know he can make every throw. But he also knows that he's not young and he's got a lot of age on him, and also he's not mobile at all. We understand that, and you guys all want to have mobile quarterbacks now. I mean, that's the game you guys want to coach. That's the game you guys want to play. How important is it for you to have a quarterback with mobility going forward?
I'm certainly fond of quarterbacks that can move around, but I do know this, you know, that you have to be able to throw the ball from the pocket to have success in this league. There's absolutely no question in my mind. You know, quarterbacks that can move around and extend a drive, make plays off schedule, and do all those things, I think, are important. And you know, that's what you get sometimes when you get a new one or one that's a different style than Eli. But I do know this: if everybody around our quarterback plays the way they should, and we coach the way we should, Eli can have success.
No one doubts that. Now, the question is, neither one of you guys is committed to him for next year, and you've left it wide open, which is why the questions persist.
Sure. No, and I understand that, and I can appreciate that. You know, we're at this time of the year where it's, you know, player acquisition, player evaluation, you know, what are we doing moving forward? And, you know, Dave calls me a corpse collector. I'd love to have 1,000 players because I appreciate the good in players. And so, you know, as we go forward here, we'll have those conversations. And just like anybody, though, in any corporation, you know, I think people need to understand that, you know, it doesn't make sense for us to tell everybody what we're doing.
But it's also harder for you and more delicate, as you know. You're dealing with a guy
sure.
who's a two-time Super Bowl MVP, who's in the top 10 in every category in the league, who's,
sure.
a future Hall of Fame candidate. Whether he gets in or not, we'll see.
Right.
But the bottom line is you're dealing with an iconic figure in this franchise. That's a hard thing for a new coach to deal with. And you got that in your lap this year.
But you know what's made it easy, Mike? Is and Eli will tell you the same thing. We've been open and honest about everything that's going on, and I appreciate him as a professional, and I appreciate what he's done for this organization, and I appreciate how he persevered through a tough season and actually helped us turn things around at the end.
Well, yeah, and you know what? You guys played better. He played better. No question. He needs blocking. We understand that. That has
sure.
to happen. But there's two ways to look at this. I mean, listen, you're probably looking at his last year at best, and if you're talking about sustained success, sooner or later you need to bring a new quarterback into the franchise.
Well, there's no doubt. There's no doubt. I think, you know, this game isn't forever, you know, but who's to say when the end is? And so I think Dave mentioned it when we're talking about moving forward, we're going to do what's best for the Giants. And, you know, we believe in Eli. And then as we move forward here, I think the plans will reveal themselves.
And did we see the offense you want to run this year? Did we see what you want to do this year with this team? And then you just got to get a better offensive line? Or did everything restrict you from being the offense you wanted to run here this year?
No, I think near the end of the season, after we started blocking better, we were scoring close to 28 points a game.
Actually scored more than anybody in the division for the season. Now, that might
yeah.
be an indication they didn't score a lot. But second half, you guys did score points.
Yeah, no, and I think that's the key. And that's the kind of offense I want to see is, you know, one where you score points and you use the players and their skill and ability to, hey, listen, if we had a guy, you know, that could run around, and we'd be more zone read, and we do all the things that you do if you have a player with that skill set. But, I think we're pretty good at taking care of the ball. We found a way to score points at the end and do it in multiple ways. I think it's more of an indication, certainly the last eight games, than it was the first. And I do believe this, and it's really played itself out, except for a couple situations. When you're put, no matter what offense you're trying to install, it takes a month or 6 weeks for it to start going. And we were doing it against, you know, some tough opponents, and there was a lot new, and we own that part of it, but much better in the second half of the year, and I think that's why I'm excited as we move forward here.
Did you leave training camp thinking that, and you were facing a very top-heavy schedule, which we all know, and it was brutal in the first
right.
7 weeks.
Right.
Did you leave training camp thinking this was going to be a real struggle, or did you leave training camp thinking, I don't know what to think, or did you leave training camp thinking this team was going to be better than this?
Well, I left training camp knowing that we still had work to do up front. So, you know, when I sort of knew that, and, you know, you can just see that my years in the league, you just knew that there was work that needed to get done. And, you know, as the year went on, the guys played better. We added some new players, and, you know, then it started to pick up, and it started to show up a little bit more in how I'd envisioned it.
What obviously you have to get better defensively. You need a pass rush. We all know that. You need to get
right.
better on the offensive line. Those are obvious. Those have been going on here for years, so we know those things. What is a point emphasis for you going into year two? What's important for you going into year two?
Well, I think the important thing now is behind the scenes, we quality control everything we did. And, you know, I told the guys the other day, I said, schematically, we systems are in, but let's do more of the things we did well and less of the things that didn't work for us. And so that's when we get the guys back here in April, you know, that's the direction we go. And, and in the meantime here, we have to do a really, really good job of being open and honest about the players on our team and, you know, kind of combine that with Dave's staff and what we think moving forward. And then just have, you know, real open dialogue about areas we need to get better, and then make an effort to get better, you know, one decision at a time. And then find a way, if we're just a little bit better, you know, as an example, you know, you look at third down numbers, you know, if you make one more third down per game, then it puts you right in the middle of the pack. You two more per game, and you're in the top 10. So what happens is you can look at it and you see a ranking, you say, well, it's monumental. No, it's not. It's just little changes here and there. And, you know, go really build on some of the good things we did at the end. And then, you know, add that to the training that we're going to do. And, you know, you can make big gains.
What does it mean to have a Barkley versus not having a Barkley? As you build a modern offense, you're still going to be pass intensive. Everybody is. You still have to have a quarterback who can throw the ball. But to have a back who's that kind of luxury, what does that afford you?
Well, I think that's partly why I'm probably a hybrid defensive coach. And I've always, in fact, I was talking to Dave about that today. You know, I think I appreciate the importance of running the ball, not only for your offense, but for your team. So we're going to always make a concerted effort to run the football.
It helps your defense, obviously.
Well, it
helps
your defense.
Field possession, helps everything, right.
And I don't
believe
that. But
how about having
a
special player there like that?
Oh, yeah. Well, and then certainly, you know, I'm kind of getting to that. But
okay.
With that being said, you can't just start the first snap of the game and just start drop back and throwing, because the pass rush will get to you. So the game has to be played where you run it. There's play action. There's movement. There's quick throws. There's empties. And to do all those things, you need a running back that can run, block, and then be extended and catch the ball. And so to have a player like Barkley, that puts pressure on the defense no matter what you choose to do. So as a play caller, there's running backs around the league that can't catch. So when they're in the game, it's a very small menu.
Sure.
And so with a guy like Barkley, I think people just need to understand his ability to do all those things. It puts a lot of pressure on the defense, and so, you know, that's sort of my vision of it. And then, you know, he needs to come back too and be the best version of himself and continue to improve. He certainly did a lot of really, really great things. He made some great plays. There were some great moments for our fans to watch. But, you know, he's still a young player, and he'll have those winter aha moments where, you know, this worked out, but I really didn't know what I was doing. And now he'll know what he's doing, and it'll just look better.
That's an immense talent, though. I mean, he's just that's a special player. I mean, he's got a chance to be a great, great player.
Oh, there's no doubt. And I think he's already, you know, the thing
he
about
had a great
him
year.
Too,
let's be honest, he had 2,000 yards from scrimmage. I mean, he had a great year.
No, he had a great year. And the thing about Saquon, what you did, he made a wonderful first impression in terms of how you act as a pro. He's going to be a great example for, and he already is a great example for, the young players that come in, the new young players. You know, the young players that come in are 15 years removed from Eli. But he'll be a great example for the new young players of how you handle everything from what you say to your body language to where you live to who you hang out with to how you train. And so when you have good young examples like him, and we have a lot of them on our team, it helps kind of promote that culture that we're talking about.
And do you feel like you're a long way from being successful with this franchise? I mean, I know there were a lot of close games, but you know what? A lot of teams are, the Atlanta Falcons are thinking the same thing right now. They're 7-9 and thinking, my God, we lost four games we could have won in the last minute. I mean, easy. Yeah. I mean, so there's a lot of teams thinking the same way. You got a lot of firepower. You got a question of quarterback. You got questions about who it'll be. And then you got the lines to deal with. There's clearly what needs to be rebuilt and fixed. But, I mean, a lot of teams are looking at the same boat. Do you think it's a small jump now to competitive, to contending, or is it still a ways away?
Well, I think we're much closer to winning than we were last year at this time. And I couldn't say that because I didn't know the whole team and the whole operation. But, you know, part of this thing was growing away from 3-13. I think we did that. And, you know, you got to build a foundation before you can put the whole house up. And, you know, I feel good about the direction that we're going. And so, yeah, I think we're close.
Is your staff pretty much where you want it, or are you going to make so you be looking to fool with your staff?
I'm not looking to. I thought the guys did a nice job of working with the players. You know, there's certainly staff development that will happen here in the off season. You know, the one thing about coaches are, you know, we're career coaches, and so we're always looking for ways to improve, and so we'll continue to do that. I don't foresee any changes, but it's early in the process, and, you know, you can never say never.
How about all this talk about you and Stefanski? You have a close relationship with Stefanski?
I do. Yeah, I work with Kevin, and I gained an appreciation for him and, you know, what you know, who he is as a man and as a coach. And so, yeah, I know him very well.
Okay, so but you're not trying to bring him into your team. You're not,
no.
Oh, okay.
No,
okay. There's some talk about even that. So no. That's not true. Okay.
No, I'm super happy with the job that Mike did.
Okay.
And so no, I'll keep one eye open to see where he ends up, but. I think he's done a good job in Minnesota. He's held there in high regard, and so I'm hopeful. He'll work out well.
Well, listen, thanks for your help all year. Good luck to you, and we'll talk along the way. Thanks very much.
All right, Mike. Happy New Year.
Thank you. You too, Coach. All right, Pat Shurmur, the head coach. We'll have Eli Manning at 5. Albert Breer on the coaches around the league. There'd been talk of Stefanski coming in and joining Pat in the offense, but he actually could, the way things are shaking out, be a head coaching candidate in a couple of spots. I mean, that's how crazy this list has gotten this year. Not just would he be a coordinator candidate, he'd be a head coaching candidate, has been mentioned in a couple of places. Back after this.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.